I never say like, oh, you know, I sure am upset that I got everything ready and woke up early and got that workout done. Damn.
DizRun's Radio episode 581 starts in 3, 2. Welcome back to DizRun's Radio, where I talk with runners from all corners of the running world about running, life, and everything in between. I'm your host, Denny Cray, and it's just about time to head out the door for an easy run and a great conversation. So if you're ready, then I'm ready. Let's get started. Hey guys, real quick before we dive into today's episode, just want to introduce you, potentially for the first time, to a new sponsor on the show, which is DKMS. They're an organization that is all about trying to find a cure, find treatment, eradicate blood cancer, which is potentially more common than you're aware of. We'll talk about some stats a little bit later in the episode, but it's something, you know, I mean, cancer is one of those things that's most of us have been touched in one form or another. And blood cancer is one of those that I haven't heard a lot about until I started having some conversations with the folks at DKMS and kind of found out that it's quite a bit more prevalent than we think, and or at least than I thought. And, you know, the options for treatment are pretty good if you can find a donor to donate potentially some blood marrow to those that are suffering with blood disease and specifically some types of blood cancer. And that's where DKMS comes in. They're you know, a big part of their mission is to help match up people that are living with blood cancer to people that are healthy, fit, and able to donate a marrow transplant. And the way they do that is real simple. They send out a free kit. It's got like a Q-tip swab in it. You swab your inside of your mouth, your cheeks, and you send it back. It's all postage paid, all free. It takes about 2 seconds of your time. And then, you know, they put you into the database. And if somebody comes up that would be a match for you, they'll contact you and go through that whole process. So if you're willing to potentially save a life, head over to DKMS.org today and request your free swab kit. They'll send it out right to you. Or you can text the word amazing, that's AMAZING, to 50555 to get more information there. And like I said, thanks to DKMS for sponsoring today's episode, and something that you're certainly going to hear me talk about quite a bit more, both later in this episode and in some subsequent episodes coming down the pipe. So we'll get to that in a bit. But for now, let's go ahead and dive in to today's episode. Hey guys, a lot has changed for today's guest since the last time we chatted, which was just about a year and a half ago. Don't exactly check the dates, but that's a rough ballpark, which means that we have plenty of stuff to catch up on today, which is exciting. Just the Cliff's Notes version, which I'm sure we'll dive into as we go, but since our first chat, he's crossed not one, but two Ironman finish lines and gotten to hear that he is an Iron Man, which was a big topic that we talked about before, and him looking forward to that. He's also gotten married. There's another addition to the family on the way. And his podcast continues to just pump out episodes as well. So things are moving right along. It's all of us are busy, but it's always nice to be able to catch back up with a past guest, certainly a friend, somebody I've had a chance to be on his show a couple times. Now he's back here for a round two. And I'm excited to be able to welcome Mr. Ordinary Marathoner himself, Scott Ricky, back to the show. Thanks for coming back and joining us again, Scott. Really appreciate it.
Denny, man, I am impressed with your homework. I am really impressed, man. Like, I mean, we just had this whole like pre-show where he's like, oh, did I forget anything or do I need to mention? And I'm like, oh, no, just go with it. He's got everything. He's got the Iron Man down. He's got the married thing down. He's got the kid on the – man, it's like I must post this stuff online or something.
Yeah, you know, it's amazing what we know about each other just because of the stuff that we post on social medias and things like that. And, always watching. Always watching you, Scott. Yeah, you can't get anything by me. But anyway, guys, if you haven't connected with Scott yet before, and I know there's a lot of crossover between our shows, so for a lot of you, this might be two familiar voices going at it for a little while today. But OrdinaryMarathoner.com is the website where you can find out all of the obviously the past archives. Obviously, you can also subscribe to the show, the title Ordinary Marathoner, on whatever podcast listening app of choice that you tend to use. And on the Twitter, you can connect with Scott there and have a little conversation as well. At Ord Marathoner, saving those characters, at AOR, at A, come on, Diz, at ORD Marathoner on the Twitter. And if you missed our first chat and you want to catch up on that one, like I said, it's about a year and a half ago. It was episode 336. So you can go to dizruns.com/336 or just scroll through your app of choice again and scroll down, whatever that is, doing my math here, 250 episodes almost, and you will find it. And the show notes for today's episode, if you want to get the links there and check out whatever we talk about that gets linked to and photos and the whole nine, all the good stuff, dizruns.com/581. So all of the housekeeping now out of the way, we can get into the good stuff. And Scott, one thing that hasn't changed literally since episode one of the show and still going strong here almost four years. Whew, almost 4 years later. Is the same introductory question that you answered once already. Now I'm going to throw it at you again and see, just in case your answer has changed. What is your favorite distance to race and why?
You know, it's funny. I remember just as we were Skyping me today, I was like, I wonder if he's going to ask me that question because I hadn't really thought about it. Obviously, so I've gone, I think the last time I just said that it was like the next one, right? It was the next big one, which for me at the time was the Ironman, which was the next big one. But, you know, I got to tell you, after doing two of these things and I'm supposed to be doing a third one, in about a month and a half, my training has kind of like gone downhill and I'm like, I got to get back up to where I was. So that's, I got to put that answer back in, you know, it's not that one. Now I'm going to give you another answer for this. And I think what I'm going to go with is the half marathon. And the reason why I'm going to say that is I feel like it's for endurance athletes, when you're in this, you know, when you're kind of in the training mode and you're, you know, you're running and you're, you know, it takes a lot of extra effort for me to get to like a marathon or an Ironman distance, sort of, you know, get in shape enough for that. But I feel like I can kind of fake a half if I had to. You know, and it might be a run walk I've done. I did actually one in Phoenix in February where, you know, I just kind of like jogged along with some people that I knew and we walked a good portion of it as well. And it was just, you know, we were able to kind of stay out of that pain zone where it wasn't that bad. But we got a good day out of it. And so I'm going to go with the half. How about that?
That works. It's as you're probably aware on your show and just in the running community in general, pretty popular race distance, something that you know, I think that sometimes it can come across wrong. And I don't think that you meant it this way at all, where it's like, oh, you can just fake the half like almost like it's not serious. But obviously, if you're trying to train for it and run it hard, that's a tough event. But if you have that base of fitness that's been built up over months and years, you know, I agree with you that it's something that you can jump into one. And as long as you're not trying to necessarily PR, you can't, for lack of a better way of saying it, you can fake a half marathon. I totally agree.
Yeah. And I wouldn't make it your first race. Like if you've never done a race before and you've never been running and you just go out there for a half, like it can be painful, but, you know, I think there's a certain social aspect to the half that you can kind of get by if you have a general base, you know, of fitness. I think you can kind of get through it if you had to.
Yeah, certainly agree. And the other reasons that it's so popular, as many people have discussed before, is it doesn't beat you up too much. So you can do it and go on about your day and still have a good rest of your weekend, whatever the case might be. And for some of those longer events, you know, even if whether you're racing it hard, running it for fun, whatever, you kind of get, it takes a little bit out of you just from the amount of time that you're on your feet or on your bike or in the water, depending on how many disciplines you're after that day.
Right. My wife did the New York City Marathon and she really didn't train for it. And she actually, you know, my thing was you can fake a half, but you can't fake a full. Mm-hmm. And she faked a full. She got around. She got around in about 7 hours. But to your point, you know, that race started like 11 o'clock in the morning. Mm-hmm. 7 hours. By the time you're done, your day's over.
Right.
And the half is way more social in that respect. You know, 2-3 hours, you're done. Have a beer. Enjoy the day.
Right. Exactly. So along the line of faking some of the longer races, I kind of get the sense. And here's one area where maybe I didn't do as much homework as I should have. You know, you said that you're supposed to be doing another Ironman in not too long. The way you phrase that kind of makes me think that the training hasn't been going so well. So does that mean you're going to try faking an Ironman or what's going on there?
I don't know, man. You know, I did two last year. And it was an investment mm-hmm. to get into that shape for me. I trained for a year. And the funny thing was when I was on the show last year, I'd come off a season where I didn't train very well. And it was sort of like a gag that, you know, I always go into races undertrained. And I was going to make sure that didn't happen for the Ironman. And really, I invested a full year training for Ironman Lake Placid last year. I finished it. And when I finished it, I'd done it to survive and to hear my name called and to finish the race and to feel good about it. But when I finished, I felt like I left a lot on the table. Like, you ever just finish a race and you're like, hey, you know, I could have done better. Mm-hmm. For some reason, that was my feeling. And my friends were doing Ironman Maryland. So they invited me along. There were still openings and I went and I did about, I don't know, maybe a half an hour better, which I felt really good about. And I trained for that one as well. But, you know, I think after those races and I was in a good frame of mind. For some reason, it just sort of dissipated and it's not that I'm not training. It's just that I'm not training to the degree I was last year. I did a 2.5 to 3 hour bike ride this past weekend. I ran a half marathon the week before, which sounds really good, but for an Ironman, it's not enough. You know, I need to be riding like 70 miles. I need to be out there 4 or 5 hours. I need to be doing, you know, 15 to 20 mile training runs. And I just haven't really been doing those. I've gained some weight back. I'm up like maybe 20 pounds from when I finished my Ironman from last year. So all that, I mean, I wouldn't say I'd fake it at this point, but I am having some serious doubts as to whether I should be doing this. It's, you know, it's not a half marathon. It's an Ironman it's not just the pain. I can deal with the pain. It's the, it's the potential for injury and, I don't want to do it if I'm not prepared to do it. But, as of right now, I'm doing it. If I can convince myself, you know, and I already paid a lot of money to do it. So, I can kind of, I wouldn't mind going out there. If I think I can finish, I'll give it a shot. But, as of right now, it's like, I'm just in this bad phase where it's the training just hasn't really caught on and it's my, you know, there's no excuses for it. It's the only one to blame is myself. So that's where it is.
Gotcha. And if this is too probing or too, you know, something that you don't want to talk about, just let me know and we'll steer the ship in another direction. But I almost wonder, well, before I get into what I wonder, maybe a teaser question or a leading question, you know, you signed up for Maryland kind of on a whim, but it wasn't too far after Lake Placid last year, if I got my date somewhat correct and heard what you just said correctly. At what point did you sign up for this year's? have you basically been in training mode nonstop since Maryland?
I've been in training mode.
Yeah, right.
So this is what happened. So Lake Placid is a very popular race. Mm-hmm. You really can't just get into it. There, for some reason, the registration opens. What they do is they immediately, there's a 1 week period after the race where if you're in the race, you can sign up for it. So you're basically grandfathered in but you have 1 week to decide whether or not you're going to do it. And then they open it up to sort of first come, first serve. And they have like tiered pricing and stuff like that. And just so happened last year when I wanted to do, when I just got the idea in my head that I wanted to do Ironman Lake Placid. I looked online and it was like this 2 or 3 week period that the registration was open. It wasn't full and I was able to register, which was a sort of on a whim decision, which is kind of like what I do. It's like I get an idea. I want to go after something. I want it really bad. So I signed up for it and figured it out. So then on the other end is Ironman Maryland. Maryland had 2 years in a row where the weather was really bad. Mm-hmm. They had floods. They had to cancel the swim 1 year. And so people were kind of doubting that race, mm-hmm. and they weren't registering for it. So registration was open. You could have registered for it the day before the race if you really wanted.
Right.
So, you know, just there was room there. So so basically after Ironman Lake Placid, so this year is the 20th anniversary.
So even more likely to be busy and sold out right away.
Oh yeah. But what a cool race to be a part of. Right. And I, for some reason I was lucky last year. I was on a waiting list at a hotel that was like a block away from the start. And a week before the race, they called me and they were like, oh, we had some cancellations. Do you want it? Do you want it? And I was like, yeah.
Yes.
So here I am at this great hotel, a block away from the start, when people like literally they have to get hotels like 20 miles away in order to come to the race, which parking is a nightmare. You can imagine all the logistics that by now I'm one block away. I just walk, right? I just walk to the start, to the transition area. It's super easy. So now here I am in this hotel and they want to know if I want to book the hotel for the next year. And Ironman wants to know if I want to be a part of the 20-year anniversary. And I just finished one of the greatest races of my life and I felt really good about it. Even though I told you I had to do another one, but mm-hmm. I still felt really good about accomplishing that. And so I just decided, you know what, I'm going to do it next year. It kind of was like a no brainer for me at the time. But now kind of regretting that a little bit, but, you know what, even in the worst case, if it's a 1 week vacation in Lake Placid where we go and watch the Ironman, mm-hmm. It's still worth it. It's still a great event and the town is amazing.
Right.
You know, and I'll be able, if I didn't do it, I'd be able to cheer on my friends and I'd be able to have a few beers and watch them while they weren't.
While they're suffering.
But, you know, as of right now, it's still on, Denny. I'm still, you know, I'm kind of like, I'm on the fringe a little bit, but, you know, I'm still leaning towards doing it. My daughter's going to be going up there, so I can't imagine not trying it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know how you have to set the example,
right?
Yourself. It's just, you know. So I can't imagine not trying it, but we'll see. I still have a month and a half, and that's a lot of training time left. So I could still convince myself to do it if I sort of turn on the jets here.
Right. So that kind of leads into, I think, the bigger question that I was going to ask, and that do you get a sense that maybe you're as much, and I don't know if I'm going to word this quite correctly, but whatever, we'll roll with it. You're as Go much ahead. Mentally fatigued from being in training for Ironman mode as anything else, and maybe that's part of the reason why you're struggling with doing the training, because, you know, for lack of a better way of saying it, you've basically been training for Ironman Lake Placid for two years, you know?
I've never thought of it that way. I've never thought of it as fatigue. Because I picture it almost as a lifestyle.
Mm-hmm.
It's either you're doing it or you're not, but I picture it as like a lifestyle where, you know, I have to minimally get two workouts in a day, which is usually like my lunch hour and then one when I get home.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm pretty much, you know, even last year I would get up to swim in the morning some days. So, you know, if you ask me how many times I work out in a given week, I might say 18.
Right.
You know, it's like you think the answer is 7 is max, but no, like, mm-hmm. you know, if you're doing 2 or 3 a day, it could be a lot. So, but now I think I've cut down on that a lot, and not on purpose. It's just, I don't know if I'd call it mental fatigue. I think it's more, you know, I mean, I've been distracted. I have tons of excuses. I mean, I could give you the laundry list of them. We've had some illnesses, but I've got married. I got, you know, we're pregnant. It's just, there's other distractions. Sometimes there's more to life, and maybe it's just, I've done this before. And this, I think that it might be a lot of that. And if you remember, this is why I got into Ironman to begin with, because I was doing marathons and I capped out. My best marathon was my very first one. Now, I think had I done a marathon, last summer when I was at peak Ironman shape, I would have PR'd. Mm-hmm. And that would have been my best one by far. I just didn't do it. And then when I did New York, I was with my wife who had to do 7 hours. So we just kind of did a, you know, walk run.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, for me, like mentally, it's like there's a challenge. I go get it. I complete it. And then once I complete it, no matter how hard I try to say to myself, all right, I want to do better. I want to do better. I want to do better. It's not enough to keep me in that mode for whatever reason. And I hate to say that because it sounds like I'm making excuses, but there's like a physiological thing behind it, or like, you know, there's something behind it, psychological thing. I don't, you know, it's like something I need to conquer. It's like, you know, it's my, it's the beast that I need to slay or something like that. And again, it's not like I'm not training at all. I, you know, it's just that I'm not doing what I did last year to get ready.
Right.
And I'm not as ready. I'm not even close. So, well, you know, we'll see.
We'll see. Yeah. And you know, it's, I, the reason I ask that is because I know from both some of the athletes that I have worked with and still work with, and just from other folks in the running community, where it's like, you know, if you're always in marathon training mode, I mean, they're always, you know, training for a race, racing it, recovering, then right back into the next training mode, or training cycle, you know, for some folks and probably for most, if you really continue that routine long enough, it just kind of, you know, it burnout gets stale, gets, right, you know, whatever, because you never have that chance to do something different. And I only can imagine that training for an Ironman is like that cranked up to 11, because, you know, it's not just the running. Like you said, you know, 14, 16, 18 workouts a week isn't unheard of. And for, you know, somebody who's quote unquote just running a marathon, like, you know, you're looking at most, what, maybe 8 or 9 workouts, a couple of days of doubles. And that's, you know, I would assume that if I was in that situation where for 2 years, basically you've been doing this, I could see myself just kind of being like, you know what? I don't feel like getting up at 4 o'clock in the morning to hit the pool today. So I'm not. And then once that starts to build a little bit,
it's a snowball. It's a snowball. And once you start saying no to a workout or two, it's like it becomes easier to do it, mm-hmm, you know, the next time. And it's, you know, and I've drawn that sort of like, you know, you draw the line and you say, all right, from now on,
right,
I'm not going to act like that again. And you do, you have a couple good, you know, productive days, and then you slowly go back, and then you're back to where you were, and then, all right, I'll draw the line again. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, and it's like, but you got to keep doing it. You know, and I can even say I'm doing it now. I probably did it this morning, and then I ate cookies before I
got, you got a carb load somewhere, I guess, right?
That's true. But you know what? Like I didn't do my long run on Saturday. I just, we were busy, and I, you know, I made excuses again. I had time. I just, you know, I didn't do it. And then I wound up doing the bike ride yesterday, which was less than I should have done. And I said to myself, right, instead of doing my long run on Saturday, I'm going to do it tonight. So now we'll see. We'll see if I get it done tonight.
Right.
But, you know, that's on the docket. It's like 14, 15 miles tonight on the treadmill. Oof. So, yeah, which is brutal.
yeah, but nothing but sympathy coming your way to try to do do that on the treadmill. But you know, shifting slightly to you know, staying on the Ironman focus at least for another couple of minutes, but maybe shifting to more positive thoughts. What was it like crossing that finish line and hearing them call out your name that you were an Ironman? Because again, I mean, I think that was kind of how we pretty much wrapped the last show, was that, you know, can't wait for you to be able to experience that,
right,
that moment. That was something you were really looking forward to. How did it actually live up to your expectations when it really did happen?
You know, and you know, just like kind of probably a surprise answer, which is, and the whole reason I did Ironman Maryland was because, man, you know, I think one thing I wasn't prepared for, it's a long day out there. You know, you're up, and I didn't sleep the night before because I was so nervous. And I probably got about a half an hour sleep the night before. I just could not sleep. And I don't even know if I got a half. It was one of those where you're kind of like,
right,
you don't want to look at the clock because you don't want to know. And I might have slept, and I might not have even slept. I might have just been in a daze. I don't know. I just kept, you know, I knew I was awake the whole night. And I got up at like 4 to get my, you know, my number written on your arm and your leg and stuff like that. You know, you get in the water, and then the bike ride is like 7.5 hours. I think it took me to get around for the bike. It's a long, and somewhere in the middle of that bike ride, I just said to myself, you know, this kind of sucks. You know, I'm going to finish. I'm going to be an Ironman, but this is painful. And, you know, this, you know, I remember saying to myself, like, there's only two ways this ends. And really three. One is, if I died, two was if I missed a cutoff and they told me I couldn't go any further. And three was sort of like if I finished by accident. Mm-hmm. It's kind of like the way it felt. It's like I'm going to finish, but it's just like it's just such a long day. And when I finished it, it's sort of like because I knew I was going to finish about midway through the bike, I was like, and that was what I wanted to do. It kind of took some of the wind out of it. And for some reason, you know, my marathon was a walk run and I had planned it that way, but I feel like I had more in the tank. And when I finished, I was happy to finish because it was over. Mm-hmm. And I wasn't happy that it was like, you know what I mean? It wasn't that I was happy that I wasn't just exalted because of this giant journey that I went through and all this stuff. I was just happy it was over. And then when it was finally done, and I, you know, and you get that sort of after effect where you sit down on it and you think about it for a couple hours, a couple days, and I'm like, man, I could have done better. Mm-hmm. And that's, so it was like kind of like the culmination, and that's why I signed up for Maryland, was because I wanted to do it again. And really, when I did Maryland, I exerted a lot more of my energy, and I really pushed forward. And I, you know, I remember, I think I ran like the last 3 miles of the race, which was significant at that point in time, as opposed to doing like the walk run. Mm-hmm. And when I finished, I got a much better sense of, I left it all out there, you know? And so that, you know, that for me was actually a better finish. The second one was actually a better finish for me emotionally wise than the first one.
Gotcha. What made you know halfway through the bike that you were going to finish the first one? Because I feel like that's like somebody saying at mile 10 of their first marathon, like, yeah, I know I'm going to finish this. And it's like, man, you don't, like, that's a long way for things to still fall apart.
It is. I have like, you know, that you do that mathematical thing in your brain when you're running, and you kind of like, my goal was just to finish. And so I knew in my head where my cutoffs were, and I knew that I was ahead of pace. Right. You know, and I kind of knew I was just going to keep going. And there's sort of like a minimum speed that you hit when you're on the bike, right? Mm-hmm. It's like slow enough where, especially when you're going uphill, you just keep pushing those pedals. You're going to get there. But, you know, at some point when you're exhausted, you're like, the only way that, you know, if you go so slow that your bike just sort of like tips over and you fall down and your feet are stuck in the pedals. But I knew I was going to get there. There was just nothing that was going to stop me that day. But it wasn't, you know, it was sort of like I had timed it all out in my head, and I knew I was ahead of pace, so I didn't have to push myself, and I didn't push myself, mm-hmm. which is why I think I had that little bit of regret, that I had more that I could, you know, that I could do.
Gotcha. So, yeah, I mean, it's, you know, I can't, as I've said many times, can't imagine doing an Ironman. I mean, 2 miles of swimming is just, that's a long freaking swim.
You know, here's what I got to tell you about that, Danny, though, is that when I started this thing, my impression was that the bike was going to be easy, mm-hmm. and that the swim would be the most difficult, and that the run, it would just be like, all right, I know I could do a walk run combo, right. of 6 hour marathon or whatever it was. And it turned out that the swim is my best leg by far.
Really?
And I don't know if it's because it's first. It's only, you know, it's the shortest one, mm-hmm. hour and a half. And for some reason, when I'm in, I was a decent swimmer. I didn't realize, I'm not a great swimmer. Right. I'm not like finishing top 10%, but I'm definitely in the top half. And I didn't even know that about myself. It just was something where, you know, you get in, so I just had like a naturally smooth sort of technique, I guess. I swam a lot when I was a kid. I would never competitively, but it just, you know, it worked for me. So I was shocked. I was actually shocked at, and it's the same sort of feeling. It does, you get bored in the water after an hour, hour and a half. It's taxing, and it's annoying because it's water, and you can, you know, if you open your mouth and you swallow it and it comes out your nose.
Right.
As opposed to if you're running, you get a cramp, you can kind of just stretch it out a little bit or do whatever, but you're in the water, you know, you don't want to drown. Dying is, you know.
Yeah, that's that. Like you said, that's about the worst case scenario for the day.
Right. Oh, so, you know, you'd be surprised, man. You give it a go. You might be surprised.
Yeah. I keep, whenever I talk to somebody who's done triathlons, whether it's Ironmans or sprints or somewhere in the middle, I always try to tell myself, well, this will be the year that maybe I won't do a triathlon, but at least I'm going to get in the pool a little bit more. I'm going to do some swimming, some cross training, things like that to try to build some fitness outside of just the repetitive motion of running and see if that translates. And yeah. I'd be curious, you know, and not that you have had a whole lot of time when you haven't been triathlon training as we've just talked about, but have you noticed how your focus on swimming, on biking, on some of those cross training activities has helped you as, you know, with just your quote unquote, just running?
Yeah. You know, well, it's actually, it's an excellent question. And, I think so for me, one of the things about me when it comes to running is like I've always been over like well over like, you know, between 205 and say 230 pounds. And when I started running, I lost weight. I was 280 when I started. And I think what happens when, especially when you weigh a little bit more, you're a little bigger, the pounding of running on your joints, it can really, it either like it just debilitates you. You get sore for longer. You're more injury prone. All that stuff. And so I went from training for marathons, which was like 5 or 6 days of running a week, at least one long run per week, to doing maybe 3 days of running per week, where it would be one long run on the weekend and then maybe 2 days of running. One would usually be like an easy run, and then the other would be like speed work or, mm-hmm. you know, something of that hill, something of that nature. Just to try to build you up. And then the rest of it would be filled in with weightlifting, swimming. I do a lot of work on the elliptical, which it's not a complete substitution for running, but it burns calories mm-hmm. and it's, you know, and it's not, and you don't have the pounding on your joints like you would, you know, as a runner. And then biking is like, you know, there's no pounding, but you know, you just, those legs are churning constantly. Right. For hours, and you know, you can do more on a bike than you can when you run. So, you know, I could hop on the bike tonight and do like 2 hours, and it would be less calorie burn, but you know, you still get that that fitness going. Mm-hmm. And I tell you, like, so my PR and a half going into last year was 2:16, and then in March I ran a 2:07, so I set my PR, and then a month and a half later, doing what I just described, like a couple days of running and mostly cycling, I did just slightly under 2:01. So mm-hmm. 2 hours. So I improved by like over 6 minutes in a month and a half without doing a lot of running. So to answer your question, yes.
Yeah.
I could have given you the short answer, which was yes, but I went on the low.
No, but I think that's good because, I mean, I believe it wholeheartedly. And I think that, you know, the more research I do in as far as heart rate training goes, as far as, yep. as some of the, what are kind of now on the outskirts of conventional running wisdom is that you don't need to run as much as a lot of people think you have to do. And especially if you're doing that cross training, you're still getting the work, you're still working your heart, but you're saving some of the wear and tear. It doesn't surprise me at all, but to kind of hear the longer version of the story, I think is helpful because, even for me who is, for the most part, on board with that line of thought, I still don't put it into practice very much. Like I maybe get, you know, my goal is usually 2 hours a week on the spin bike. We got a spin bike in the house. So I can, you know, 30 minutes a day or something like that is kind of the goal. But even then I come up short. Usually I'm usually between an hour and a half and an hour 45, and almost no time in the pool. And hell, I live in Florida. I have a pool literally six steps out my back sliding glass door. Like we have a pool right there. It's not a good lap pool, but it'd be a great underwater running type of pool or things like that. You know, the community subdivision, whatever you want to call it, that I live in, we have a community pool that is a great lap pool. So I'm a mile and a half.
It's from right
that.
There.
Like,
yeah.
I have no excuse and I still don't do it. And so I say all that to say this, that for those that aren't on board, I think it's good, or at least aren't as exposed to some of that external unconventional wisdom. I think it's great to hear, you know, your experience a bit more in detail, because hopefully that might get them to think a little bit more of like, hey, you know, yes, running is great, and that's what I want my primary sport to be. I don't have to sign up for an Ironman to get benefits from doing swim workouts once a week or once every 2 weeks, and to do more time on the bike and less time running. I can still get fit. I can still PR. I can still improve my times, and I just might be in a little bit less ache and pain on a regular basis as well.
Yeah, and I got to tell you, like, you know, it's, I think one of the reasons why people might sort of go with the running and just, you know, I'm just going to run. It's so easy, right? Mm-hmm. Especially if you're an outdoor person, you just throw on your sneakers and you go. Now, when to swim, especially if you're doing like an open water swim, you got to get a wetsuit on. I mean, that's a whole big to do. You got to drive to the water. You got to, you know, I mean, there's no lake near me. I go meet a friend of mine like an hour away. I drive like an hour just to go for an open water. I might do like two or three open water swims in the next few weeks. Actually, probably one or two. But and that's if my wetsuit fits me anymore. So that's another big problem I got to deal with. Anyway, and the bike's even worse. So, I mean, you talked about doing the bike indoors, and that's one thing. You have an indoor setup. And again, if you're an outdoor person, sometimes it's hard. The same reason it's hard to do when I mentioned the treadmill and you're kind of like, ah, you know,
right.
It's like, it's hard to stay inside for all that time if you're not distracted or you don't have anything to do. And it's way easier to do it outside. But if you have to do the bike outside, I mean, you know, I don't like personally, I don't like riding the street because especially up here, there's really no shoulder. Mm-hmm. A lot of, you know, texting teenage kids and not even teenage kids. I mean, everyone, you drive down the street, everyone's texting and, you know, it's illegal here, but people do it anyway. Mm-hmm. So, and I think the thing with the texting is like, it's not so much that you're going to crash into another car, but if you're on a bike and you're on the shoulder and someone's texting and they're going around a curve, they're not going to see you, mm-hmm. you know, and it doesn't take much, you know, for a 2-ton car to kill you.
The car wins every time. In the history of runners and cyclists, cars are undefeated.
Right, exactly. The car never loses. But it's also to get to the trail where it's safe. You know, I got to throw the bike in the car. I got to make sure I have – and I can't tell you how many times I've driven 15 minutes to the trail, got there, and I don't have my bike shoes or my helmet or so I'm missing something. And, you know, it's just an added layer. And that's, again, one of my sort of excuses as to why I haven't been doing well. It's just an added layer of things that you need to do in order to get there. Now, I will tell you that once I usually get there and I start riding or I start swimming – I have a blast. I enjoy it. And I never, ever regret it. Like I never say like, oh, you know, I sure am upset that I got everything ready and woke up early and got that workout done. Damn, what a stupid thing to do. You never say that. When you're done, you always feel good about it. It's just a matter of taking those first few steps. And you're the kind of person that does it or you're the kind of person that doesn't. And I've gone through, I've been both. Mm-hmm. So.
Yeah, it's you know, like you said, it can be a convenience thing. It can be whatever it is. And those to be blunt, they're excuses at some level.
Some
very valid excuses, some very legitimate excuses. But if you are willing to put forth the effort, you'll find a way to make it happen. And it may not be, like I said, it may not be every week. You may not be swimming twice, three times a week, but you know, once a month, get in the pool instead of a run. Once a week, jump on the bike if you can. And it's going to help you. You know, as long as you can avoid getting hit by the car or drowning in the lake, you know, you're going to come out.
And I know you're a big scheduling guy too, right? You have that whole schedule that you do. I mean, just if you're doing it in advance and you're looking, you know, throw it in the schedule and try to get it done, you know, do it that way. You know, I do the same thing and actually I just put one together today where I'm trying to like schedule out my next few weeks to see if I can get into shape for this thing. But, you know, you put a swim here. Hey, you know, the swim is in the calendar for the morning, which means I got to get up at 4:45 in order to be at work at 7.
Right.
To get the swim in and go to work. So, you know, that alarm rings and, you know, you're either the kind of person that gets up and does it or you're the kind of person that doesn't. And sometimes, you know, I've been both.
Yeah. Yeah, certainly. I think you're in good company. I know I've been there, and I've got a feeling that we're not the only ones that have had times where the motivation is there, and it's easy to get out of bed. And there's times that, boy, that snooze button or that off button is pretty easy to
very attractive.
Yeah, definitely, definitely. So, want to shift gears for a minute, Scott, or as we're getting, gosh, you know, as is often the case, you start getting talking, and then you look at the clock and go, wow, we've been at this for more than a minute. But before we do, I want to take a second and pay a couple of bills and thank the good folks from DKMS for sponsoring the show and remind everybody that, you know. Some stats that the DKMS has shared with me recently, that every 3 minutes, someone in the U.S. is diagnosed with a blood disease, and every 9 minutes, someone dies because of a blood disease, which is crazy. And what DKMS is out to do is to change that, to help find marrow donors, to help with transfusions, with helping those that have a blood disease heal and live a healthy life after diagnosis. And the process is super easy. It's something that I've gone through as far as doing the swab test. All you got to do is head over to dkms.org and you can get a free swab kit, which is literally, you know, basically a couple of Q-tips. You rub them on the inside of your mouth, send them back, and that goes into the registry and it matches you up if there's a match that's available for that's in need. Then they'll contact you and set up the procedure. I haven't gone through that part of it yet. Obviously, I've just done the swabbing and getting it checked out, getting into the registry. But the whole process is not that big of a deal. It's not like you're going to be out of training and running for months and months and months. You're looking at an outpatient. If there's a you know, if you become a donor, it's a you know, they take care of all the costs. It's real easy. You know, you're out of running for a couple of days, basically, and then you can get back into your training. So it's no big deal. DKMS.org to get the kit. And if you want just more information in general, text the letters TBD. I need to learn the military call signals there, but whatever it is. T as in this, which is a terrible way to say it.
Tango,
T as in
Tango.
Tango, yes, there you go. Tango, Bravo, Delta. Tango, Bravo, Delta.
Hey, I like it.
To 50555 for more information. Thanks for the assist to Mr. Ricky there on the T. I would have gotten lost on that one. I knew the other two. Yeah, so just to let you know, like I said in the intro, the word to text, the keyword is amazing, not TBD. That was a miscommunication / misunderstanding / I'm an idiot situation. Recorded this before we had the final copy, you know, as far as what the contact information was supposed to be from the folks at DKMS. And they just put in TBD as in, you know, to be determined what the keyword is going to be. And your boy Diz was just like, hey, I don't know why TBD is the word, but whatever. It's cool. Text TBD. No, text amazing. Amazing. AMAZING to 50555. Sorry about that. We'll get it straightened eventually. But anyway, thanks to DKMS for sponsoring this episode. You're going to hear more about them in the coming weeks and months. Looking forward to having them on the show and helping to save some lives, which is a pretty cool thing to do. And Scott, that transitions a little bit into something that I know that you've done. And we talked about this a bit the first time we went through it, and your work with Team Motivation and running for a charity and raising money in that route. And something else that I know that you've done, and you joined joined forces a little bit with the head heifer herself and Melissa and all the troops over at Run Heifer Run to do some kind of virtual races. You did the Ordinary Marathon at one point. It's a virtual race is one of those things that, like, I kind of know enough to maybe sort of be dangerous about, but I really have no idea of what it exactly is. So I would just love to maybe spend a few minutes here towards the end to talk about that a little bit, kind of what those type of events are even like. And then, you know, I'm assuming that maybe there'll be another one of those coming up, and we can even plug that a little bit, even if it's not time to sign up for that type of an event yet, but at least get it on people's radar for whenever that next event would come around.
Gotcha. You know, so we did an event we called the Million Moo March, which was sort of branded a little towards Melissa's Run Heifer Run group. And then we followed that up 6 months later with the Ordinary Marathon. And the virtual race basically is, and it can, there's all different setups. Like, you can do a virtual 5K, a virtual 10K. You could do, you know, basically our race took place over, both of them, they took place over multiple days with a very, very big interest in the social media aspect of it. And also the charity aspect. And really, you know, I got to say, it sounds strange on the forefront for the whole concept of a virtual race, right? Because if you're a runner, you're going to be out there running anyway. So why do you have to pay $25 or whatever it is to put an entry fee in to do what you're going to do anyway? At least, you know, that's kind of what I was thinking. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, from my perspective, I always wanted to make sure that that we got we found value in getting people to do this and joining us. And in reality, we, you know, we found multiple people, you know, a bunch of people that was there would sign up and register for the virtual race. A lot of that money goes to charity. So, you know, we hand out medals and all that stuff. We pay the bills, and then the rest of it goes to charity, which we used. It was actually Team Determination, American Cancer Society, gets that money, and, you know, they partner with us. So it's a really good relationship that we have. I've run for them for years. You know, and they're happy to have it. They're happy to have the money. Mm-hmm. So, you know, at least, you know, the very least you can feel good about that. And then on top of it, you know, we do a lot of giveaways. We give away, we talk to a lot of small businesses. It doesn't have to be a small business, but it seems like that's kind of the way it goes. And, you know, they'll give us some of their products and we'll raffle them off, or we'll have contests during the week and try to, you know, try to give out some prizes. And really then there's the whole social media aspect of it, where, you know, maybe you are in a neighborhood where you're running by yourself, or there's not many people that you know that run, so you're just kind of, you know, alone. Or maybe you run in a group and you want to take pictures and you want to post them and you want to, you know, celebrate your training or whatever. It's a really good way to get people together for a great cause, mm-hmm. To win prizes. And, you know, we're all here anyway. We're all meeting on social media. We might as well do something good with the time. So it's actually – it's been both races we did, and we don't really have one on the schedule upcoming. I'm not – you know, it's we might be one in November. I'm just not sure. But, you know, I got to say, from a skeptic, I was definitely turned to the other side. I did think that, you know, we were able to put together a product – that definitely gave people, you know, their $25 worth. Mm-hmm. It was a very well celebrated event, and it went along, you know, went as smooth as I could imagine. It was, I'm definitely a converted virtual runner, I guess now.
Gotcha. That's good to hear. Cause I think I can, relate to a lot of that whole kind of just skepticism or like what's, you know, like you said, I mean, if I'm just going to go out and do what I'm going to do anyway, like,
right. What's
why?
The difference?
Yeah.
Why do I have to pay? Right. It's like, why do you got to pay money for every race that you do?
Yeah, part of the reason I pay for a race is to have other people running with me and that kind of competitiveness and this, you know, an official time as opposed to this is just what my Garmin said, which obviously, you know, those types of things can't be, you know, that's not what a virtual race does.
Right. And, you know, there are some races that when you take part in them, they are timed races. And again, and there's no, it's like a lot of it's honor system, right? But some of them will make you take a picture of your Garmin and send it in, or, you know, whatever app you use, you have to send in whatever proof it is that you ran a certain distance or a certain time. Ours weren't like that. Ours were more laid back participation, just cheering everybody on because, you know, and I think the one thing, even though, and for the ordinary marathon itself, it sounds like, right, it has the word marathon in it, so you're assuming there's a 26.2 component. But we had you know, the person, we did give out a prize for the most miles ran over 10 days, and one guy ran some, I think it was 152 miles.
Wow.
He's obviously like an ultra runner. He's insane. You know, and then we had a number of people who didn't finish 26.2, and we had a number of people who said, you know what, whether I walk or whether I run, I never thought I'd do a marathon in my life. And I never heard of this concept, and it's kind of cool. Like, I'll be able to, you know, after 10 days, I'll add up, you know, we had people walk 2.6 miles a day or something like that. And, you know, make it to 26.2 miles and say they, you know, why, you know, they were proud of themselves for doing it. So, you know, if you can empower folks, if you can give them a good time, if you can donate money to charity, I think when I considered all of those sort of caveats to the race, I was like, you know, I'm proud of the work that we did and the things that we put together. And I'm looking forward to doing the ordinary marathon again next year. I think, you know, I think we'll pick up some steam. We'll get some more people and march on along.
Yeah. I think it's, I mean, you know, like I said, I was kind of a skeptic too. And as I've heard a little bit more about it, and like I said, also, you know, I feel like I know just enough to be dangerous, but hearing even more now, makes me even more think that it's something that, you know, if nothing, whether or not I ever want to do one, and I would, I'm certainly not in the camp of no way. You know, I don't think that it's, I think it's one of those instances where, you know, different strokes for different folks. Not everybody wants to do something that's organized. Not everybody wants to run a big race. Not everybody wants to run a race with like six people running the marathon, or, you know, it's just another option. And like you said, if people that maybe never thought they could do something like this before, they gives them that motivation to get out the door and get started. How do you not support something like that?
Yeah. And, you know, I did one that was set up another way, too, where you had to have like a team of six people and you had a weekend to run as many miles as you could. And you added them up and you just compared against other teams. I think we actually won, which was insane. I think I did a 20 mile run that weekend. But it's like one of those things where you don't want to let your teammates down. So you kind of just go the extra mile. And, you know, I think we won something crazy that it's like something I didn't even want. So I didn't you know, but
it, right.
Yeah, but you know, it's not like, you know, we charge $20-$25 for a race, something like that, which, you know, I'm sure for some people that, you know, that's too much and you don't want to get involved. But, you know, when you think about some of these events that you do get involved, the Ironman costs like $700,
right.
You know,
right.
New York City Marathon, $260. Now, I'm not saying it's the New York City Marathon, but, you know, you don't have to worry about, you know, all the difficulties of getting to and from the race or anything like that. It's all on your own time. And $25, knowing the money goes to a good cause, I think, you know, and you get your medal.
Well, I mean, shoot, so. You know, most I think local 5Ks these days are $25, if not more, you know, 30, 35, 40. Yeah. I've seen those. So yeah, it's not that the price isn't, isn't ridiculous by any stretch. And then, like I said, you're getting,
and it's not
going
for
to
everybody.
Pause and yeah, yeah, exactly.
And it's definitely not for everybody. I mean, you know, like we really pushed kind of like the social media aspect of it and getting involved. And certainly, you know, out of the 85 people or something that we had do the ordinary marathon, maybe, you know, maybe 65 of them really got involved and posted all their runs. But there are those 20 people that paid and, you know, they kind of kept quiet or kept to themselves. Maybe they didn't run. Maybe they thought it would be motivation and they didn't. Or maybe they just wanted to give me the money for charity because I was bothering them. you know, you never know. But, you know, we did get a good participation that week. And you know, I think it's sort of, you know, I mean, you know how kind of this podcasting business is too, Denny. It's like you think of these new things to do and new things to try, and some of them stick and some of them don't. And I think this one kind of stuck for us. So I think we're going to keep going with it.
Fantastic. Well, I certainly wish you nothing, you and Melissa both. I know you guys are partners in crime with a lot of those types of events. And so, you know, hope that those go well for you, and certainly keep me in the loop so I can push it a little bit or whatever I can do to support the cause. Happy to do that as well.
Sounds good. Thank you.
Yeah, absolutely. So as we're wrapping up, I can't remember if we did this or not the first time around. I think we probably did, but
I think we did.
The whole philosophical question. You know, since we haven't talked much about the podcast yet, other than to mention it at the top, maybe this will be a good kind of philosophical, I don't know if a question is going to be quite the right way of saying it, but philosophical statement and allow you to respond. Well, I guess it'll be a question. Never mind. It'll be a question. So, you know, one of the things that draws me to your show and that I enjoy about your show I don't want to say get a kick out of, but the thing you say at the end of every episode that I'm no expert, I'm just ordinary. You know, I mean, from a branding perspective, it fits in perfectly. The ordinary marathoner, like, you know, a normal guy, a family guy, you know, working the job, finding a way to train and run marathons, run triathlons, obviously Ironman races. But as a philosophical question with that kind of in mind, what would it take? And maybe this is a terrible question, in which case, whatever, that's fine.
But no, sure, it's good.
What would it take for you to stop calling yourself, quote, just ordinary as it relates to your running career?
Man, maybe a BQ? I don't know. That's a long way coming. But I mean, obviously, that'll never end, no matter, you know, I think it has to do with sort of, I guess, with more my roots of how the whole thing came about, right? I was sort of overweight and, you know, I got involved and I found it. I found this is my sort of my outlet. And it doesn't even have to necessarily be me. I mean, it's all the people that I interview and that I meet. And, you know, I interview and you, I'm sure you know the feeling from this. I interview people who are just off the couch, who are just starting, who are just looking for that motivation to get going and for the reason to keep doing it. And then I interview people that have done ultra marathons. Mm-hmm. And some of them, like we interviewed Dean Karnazes, and he was like, he loved the title of the show because like he sees himself as like just an ordinary guy, which I thought was really cool. And it's kind of like, you know, for him to say he's ordinary, you know, I'll never run, you know, he's the guy that wrote the book Ultra Marathon Man. So, you know, I think I've also just never seen myself as an expert, and I kind of hate the word expert personally. There's certain arrogance to the word expert, I think, you know, when you call yourself an expert, it's like, is anyone really an expert on anything? I don't know. But I'm certainly not that, you know, I've never taken courses or, you know, I trained with a woman has a doctorate in kinesiology, and it's like, she's an expert, you know, mm-hmm. I'm not. So, I'm just kind of learning as I go along. I don't think I'll ever not consider myself, I guess, ordinary. Plus it's a pretty good hook to end the show, I think.
I think it's the best hook. I like a philosophical question, but I also like, I'm no expert. I'm just ordinary, maybe just a touch better. So a little bit jealous of you here, but, I think certainly keep on keeping on you know, I think on one level we're all ordinary, you know, we're all of us,
sure.
No matter what, whether you're Dean Karnazes, whether you're Meb, whether you're Shalane, whether you're Scott, whether you're Denny, like we're all going through life one day at a time, doing the best we can, and trying to, you know, put our best, literally, our best foot forward when it comes to our running, along with everything else that we're doing. So you keep being ordinary. I'll keep being ordinary. And
thanks,
we'll keep moving in the right direction. So guys, once again, ordinarymarathoner.com is the website. All the catalog is there. There's a couple of episodes with me. One of them fairly recent. I don't remember the exact number, but just a few weeks ago, we circled the wagons. Yeah. and did a round two on Scott's show, where he was grilling me with all the gotcha questions and making me sweat under the heat lamp. And so,
come on, man, we had to talk about your book. I had to, you know.
Yeah, that was a good one. And today got to switch that around a little bit and let me put the spikes to Scott there. But once again, on the Twitter at Ord Marathoner, ORD Marathoner, find Ordinary Marathoner in the podcast app of your choice, and give it a subscribe, give it a listen, give it a rate and review. Those things are always helpful. Dizruns.com/581 will take you to the show notes for today's episode as well, if you want to go check that out. Link back to the old episode 336, the first time we did a little song and dance on the show. But Scott, thank you for taking the time today, for coming back and hopefully get your butt in gear a little bit so you can get that third. Scott Rickey, you are an Ironman.
So.
Get that third one, and then maybe take a little break. Let the focus on something different for a bit, and maybe once the baby grows up a little bit and your life calms back down a little bit, because as you know from having an older child, that baby is that's a whole ball of wax. So once
it's
that happens,
be a new world.
Yeah,
again,
congratulations,
once again.
and nothing thanks, but man. The best going forward, my friend.
Appreciate it. Thanks, Denny. Thanks for having me.
All right, guys, thank you so much for taking the time to listen to today's episode of the show. I hope you enjoyed the conversation between Scott and myself. And as always, I'd be curious to know what stood out to you from this episode. What was something that that we talked about today that maybe stood out in your mind a little bit? Maybe, you questioned or you resonated with you for whatever reason. Always love to hear those things. And as per usual, I'm more than willing to share my takeaway from today's episode and hoping that maybe that'll encourage you to share your takeaway as well. For me, I think it kind of is something that we touched on a little bit. We talked about a little bit, and it's maybe more of a question than it is a pure takeaway. But, that's the beauty of these takeaways. They're all unique. They're all individual. Some of them can be questions. Some of them can be, points, lessons, aha moments, whatever the case might be. And for me today, with talking to Scott, I think that my takeaway was the idea of potentially having too much of a focus on a long-term goal and that potentially leading to burnout. So, like we talked about with Scott, and like I asked him point blank, is the potential that he's basically been training for an Ironman and the demands of training for an Ironman for two straight years, kind of weighing on him and maybe causing some of the, lack of consistent training that's necessary to pretend, for him to be feeling fit and confident to run this year's Lake Placid Ironman. And it's just something that's kind of been on my mind. It struck me obviously when Scott was talking about, kind of where he is at training and how he's been basically, in training mode for close to 2 years, and got me thinking about the idea that could potentially lead to burnout. And maybe from time to time, it would be good for us to actually shift our focus, to actually try to do something different. And that doesn't mean that we can't, that our main overarching goal can't still be that one thing. For me, you all know what it is. It's qualifying for Boston. That is my goal. And maybe right now I have the blessing of not being close enough to where that is like the thing that I think about every single day, every single run, every single moment of training and strength training and yoga is like, this is what it's going to take to get me, under that 310 barrier or something like that to get to Boston. And hopefully when I start getting closer, that won't be a consuming thought. And if it is, maybe that's time for me to shift focus once in a while, give it a training cycle and really try to hammer it. And if I get it, great. And if not, instead of trying to maintain that laser-like focus on that one goal, maybe that's when it's time to shift gears and try to hammer a fast half marathon or, stretch the legs out and run, a 50K or maybe my first 50 miler or something like that. Just change focus for, 4 months, 6 months, whatever. Do something that's still going to build my fitness, is still going to keep me moving in the right direction, but is going to be, just give my mind a different challenge. Give my mental side of training a break. And y'all know that my mental side is my weak side anyway. So, don't want to overtax that by, stretching out that focus on that goal for 12, 18, 24 months. Because eventually that's, I feel like that's the recipe for burnout. And I've heard that in a few of my athletes, or kind of we've wrestled with that with a few of them over the last 6 months in some of their training, and talking to Scott, it triggered it again. And I feel like I've been there in the past as well. So maybe that's why I finally ventured into ultra waters and venturing back into them again, in early 2019, just because it gives me a break. It changes things up. And I don't think that that's taking away from my number one goal. I don't think that's taking away from my opportunity to eventually qualify for Boston. In fact, I think it's probably helping it. But maybe that's a story for another day. Anyway, my takeaway is kind of just the question. Is too much focus on a single goal a good thing? And I kind of don't think it might be. I kind of think that being well-rounded as runners, as people, as athletes, that might be the secret to success long-term. And I don't know about you, but I'm certainly in it for the long run. But anyway, that was my takeaway. Maybe a little bit longer and more vague than normal. But hey, you know, like I said, my takeaway. What about you? What was your takeaway? Let me know. Shoot me a tweet at DizRuns. Shoot me an email, DizRuns@gmail.com. And as always, you can head over to the show notes for this episode or any episode, and you can leave your comments, takeaways, thoughts, feedbacks in the comments for that particular episode. And once again today, DizRuns.com/581. And while you're there, we'll also have the link to back to the first time that Scott and I circled our wagons and had a little chat. You can check out that episode as well. And also, last but not least, don't want to forget to mention one more time, thanks to DKMS for being on board. And seriously, take the couple minutes, order the kit, and who knows? You know, you may never hear from them again, but you also may get a phone call saying, hey, you've got the opportunity to save a life. And just let that sink in for a second. You could save a life. Whew. That's serious stuff, powerful stuff. They'll talk you through all the details and all that kind of stuff. Get the information, dkms.org, or text AMAZING to 50555. So with that, we'll go ahead and put a bow on this thing. Thank you guys for listening. Certainly appreciate it. Thanks for all you do. For sharing, for commenting, for sending me messages, for trolling me in the Facebook group. It's all appreciated, and certainly something that I look forward to each and every day, the chance to get to interact with those of you that listen to the show. So thank you. Appreciate you so much. Hope you have a great rest of the day, and we'll talk soon. See you guys.